Jesus comes on the scene and he makes a statement. He says, I will build my church. And he says, and my church is going to be so powerful because I build it that the gates of hell will not be able to shut it down. I'm telling you that we're living in the day that hell is trying its best to shut down the church. I found this statistic this week from George Barna. There are 385,000 registered churches in the United States of America. 385,000. And 72% of these registered churches do not believe that this book is the infallible Word of God. Now I want you to hear what I just said. 72% of the churches in America do not believe this is the infallible Word of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the power of God unto salvation. I love this book from genuine leather to the end. I love the concordance. I love the index. I love it all. This is God inscripturated. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And when you get away from the Word, you're getting away from God. We have to quit getting tied up in politics. Quit getting tied up in things that don't affect us personally. Get back to the Word of God. Because if you make this the priority of your life, everything will be okay. So I'm not ashamed of the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. And this is my manual for me to fulfill the intent that God has for my life. That's why I read it. That's why I hide it in my heart, that I might not sin against the Word. It's why I do what Proverbs 4 says. It says, keep it before your ears and keep it before your eyes and meditate on it day and night, that you'll bring health to your body and medicine to your flesh and bring joy to everything you do. God told Joshua, if you keep my Word, I'll make you a great success. You want to be a success? Get in the Word of God. You want to get prosperous? Get in the Word of God. You want to get healed? Get in the Word of God. You want to get out of debt? Get in the Word of God. This is the answer to every problem you have right here. It's the Word of God. That's as simple as I can make it. This is your answer. And so when I hear that 72% of the church doesn't believe that this Word is true, I'm, thank God, I'm in the minority. Because I stand here to tell you, I believe that Word's true. And I've given my entire life to that Word. So I understand why I exist. So in the New Testament, God started creating something called a church, an ecclesia. But there was a reason that God started the church. And it even tells us about it in Isaiah 59, if you're turning in your Bible. Did I tell you that yet? Amen. Isaiah 59. I want to go back and read a verse. We don't have that. Just leave that slide there. But verse 15, the latter part of that verse says, and the Lord saw it and it displeased him because there was no justice. Verse 16, and he saw that there was no one and wondered why no one would get involved. The word in the original writing there says he wondered why there was no intercessor. An intercessor is someone that stands between. You remember the story when the plague hit the children of Israel? And it said that Aaron stood between the living and the dead. He was an intercessor. He got right in the middle of it and told death, you're not touching these people. An intercessor is like the Secret Servant agents. If somebody tries to kill the president, the agent jumps in front of the bullet and he takes the bullet for somebody. That's an intercessor. And God looked down on this earth and says, there's no one who's willing to step into the middle and stop what's happening.
Glory, glory.
I need somebody to get down in the middle of that and say, we're not going to let the devil take our country. We're not going to let the devil take our children. We're not going to let the, take our church. We're not going to let the government tell us that we can't believe the Word of God. Amen. So then the last verse says this in verse 19. So when the enemy comes in like a flood. Now, let me stop right there, because in the original writing, there was no punctuation. So in our writing, we have a comma after the word flood. But most scholars believe that if you put a comma, it should be after the word in. So we read it, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord. But most scholars believe it should read like this. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise a standard against him. Do y'all see the difference? It's not that the enemy's coming in like a flood, but that God's coming in like a flood. And he says, so when the enemy comes in like a flood, I'm going to raise up a standard. I remember growing up when I was a young kid, that my dad used to use that word a lot. Son, I'm sorry, we have higher standards. When I grew up, we lived at a different standard. We lived at a standard based on the Word of God. I didn't get to do everything everybody else was doing. Why? Because I was told I was a Christian and Christians were different. Now, there were some things that were just religious, like you couldn't have long hair and women couldn't wear makeup. Thank God we got out of that. Because I would love for, well, I'd love to have some long hair. I ain't getting on that makeup part. I'm just saying, wait a minute. And some people need to paint the barn. Anyway. You know, my dad used to say this all the time. We told everybody, take it off, take it off, take it off. We don't wear that, he said, till we turned into a nudist colony. There were a lot of things that we told people to change that weren't Bible. When God says, you're looking at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. So we need to be more concerned about catching the fish than we should be about cleaning them. Let God clean them. We just need to catch them. Somebody say amen. And so to find this purpose, we got to go back to the beginning. Because the word standard here means a flag. It means something that you hold up higher so that anybody can see it. It's not in the crowd. Well, I'm an undercover Christian. Well, God says if you're embarrassed to him, he'll be embarrassed to you. He says we need to lift up a standard. I think about the New Testament that Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. In other words, Jesus didn't go get crucified somewhere out in the corner. He went on a hill so everybody could see him. I look into the hills from whence cometh my help. I look up. I see something higher than what's going on. And I believe it's time for the church to raise itself back up and say, enough is enough. We're going back to the Bible in America. We go back to the beginning. We see that God gave Adam authority over the earth. You that have been here on Wednesday night learning about covenant, you understand what I'm saying. I don't have time to get into all that, but I want to clarify something. That God never lost authority with the devil. The devil never had dominion over God. God always had dominion over the devil. It's not like Jesus came back to get the dominion over the devil. Jesus said, hey, I saw him fall like lightning out of heaven. He's a loser. He's defeated. He's a liar. And the Father lies. The problem's not the devil. The problem was with Adam. Because I made Adam the manager of the earth, and he gave up the management and gave it to the devil. So God did not come to earth as God. He came as man. And man came to this earth and took back what the devil stole. Glory to God. And that's why the Bible tells us that before he ascended, he descended. He went to hell so you and I wouldn't have to. And he walked up to the devil, said, hey, give me the keys to the store. Yeah, this place is under new management now. I am taking over. There has been new management. You're fired, devil. Give me the keys to the earth. And the devil had to give him the keys of death, hell, grave, sickness, poverty, lack, tuberculosis, diabetes. Had to give him all that. And Jesus came out and looked at the disciples and said, here's the keys to the kingdom. Here's the key. Now you go do what I did. Because now you're the manager of the earth. Y'all need to hear me this morning. God, the reason the church exists is to manage the earth. So Jesus came as man to defeat Satan and to take the dominion over the rulership of the earth. So as the church, remember what God told Adam? He said, I want you to go out in the world and I want you to take dominion. Isn't that what he said?
Amen.
Get out of the garden, get out of your sanctuary, and go out there and take dominion. And that word dominion is a military term. It means to go out and take over. Now, I'm not calling you to arms this morning. I'm calling you to prayer.
Amen.
There are seven mountains that they have determined that are mountains of influence in the world today. The first one is the economy. The second one is government. The third one is family. The fourth one's religion. The fifth one's media. The sixth one's education. And the seventh one is arts. The seven mountains of influence. I remember as a child hearing preachers preach constantly, we need to get out of Hollywood. And everybody jump and shout and dance and run around and shake the bobby pins out their hair and be excited to get out of Hollywood. And then we question why Hollywood is so corrupt. We need to get out of government. There's separation of church and state. That's not what the forefathers meant. What the forefathers meant was we're setting it so the government cannot tell the church what to do. That's what they meant. There's a separation of powers. And I'll show you this in a minute, that our forefathers believed that the church had the ultimate power. But I heard people, we need to get out of government. We need to get out of government. Well, look what's happened. Look what's happened since they took prayer out of school. Look what's happened every time we try to take God out of something. And I'm here to tell you, it's time for the church to get back in these areas of influence. It's time for the church to get back in the government, back in the economy, get back in the family. You know, the devil did a great job to tell the church you shouldn't be rich, you shouldn't have any money, you ought to walk around and say, well, the poorer I am, the more humble I am before God. Hogwash. It's not what the Bible says. It says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Get your mind right and God can trust you with finances. I'm preaching real good this morning. We got to get back in the influence of this world. The church has stayed away from the seven mountains and accept religion. We were scared to talk about the family because we didn't want to use the word sex. So we allowed our schools to teach our children sex. Or we allowed their friends to teach them about sex. Or we allowed the internet to teach. I'm telling you, I need some help this morning. We allowed the internet to teach them about sex. Can I tell you, God created sex. And anybody tells you they don't like it, they're a liar. Well, that's not in my notes. God created it. The devil perverted it. Well, now that I have your attention, let me move on. God created money. He told Adam when he needed no money, he said, get out of the garden. There's gold in those hills. Why would God tell Adam there's gold up there? Because he knew a day was coming when there would be a financial economy and he would need gold to take dominion. God created government. God created the arts. God created all these things, but we've given it to the devil. Because we were not willing to raise a standard.